Truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw it. It was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice, and he saw that there was no man and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Doesn't surprise God with sin. What does surprise God is no one is willing to see it and cry out to God, why? Well, you see, in that kind of condition, God calls people. He called a Gideon to influence the nation for godliness and to turn the tide of indifference and deliver God's people.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 6.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
We want to look at Gideon and the call to ministry, or you might see a Gideon, a man after God's own heart, or really the marks of a man like Gideon. There's a lot there with Gideon and the people that God used. There's a lot of principles with Gideon that we want to look at. You know that he's in the Hall of Faith. A number of men and women are in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And where God imparts his will and his vision and chooses those and to accomplish his will. And we call them heroes of the faith, those that have faith and what they look like. What kind of character do they have? Doing feats of faith and really encouraging us in our ability to please God and be used of God. And these are those that run with endurance the race that is set before them. And that's what we want. We want to run and we want to have God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so we find that the kind of people that God will impart his vision, that God will use, those that God will choose to do his work, the kind of qualities, the kind of characteristics that they have, the things that you look for in a man of God or a woman of God, the model that God will use and the person that really qualifies for this. I mean, it's not your great ability. It's deeper than that. It's a characteristic that we have. It's not that you've got a certain type of personality, you have a certain type of intelligence, but we're going to find that they're deeper than that. We see Gideon's call to ministry. He's in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, if you're a note taker. But that's drawn from Judges chapter 6, what we're going to look at this evening. We find that the book of Judges, as we've talked, we haven't talked about it for 3 weeks, but now we're back to it. But the book of Judges is a book of repeat offenders. It seems as though the nation and the people, they're never able to get off that treadmill of carnality. And I think sometimes people feel that way. They go through a constant cycle, as Israel did. They have peace in their life, and then all of a sudden, they get really complacent in the things of the Lord. And then they fall into sin, and then defeat comes. And then after the defeat, they cry out to God. They finally start praying to God. And God raises up a deliverer, and they find that they have peace again. They go through a cycle. It's kind of like a roller coaster type situation in their life. And that's what Israel did. They had the peace, but then they fell into complacency and the cycle happened all over again. That's what we've been seeing in the book of Judges. Israel, at this time, they were typical of a carnal church or maybe a carnal Christian of our time. I mean, this was thousands of years ago, but even in our day and age, that Christian, that church that has no permanent victory, no lasting relationship with God, no ongoing work of the Holy Spirit working in their life or in the church life. You see, the repeated theme here in Judges is each man did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, not right in what God wanted them to do, but they just did what they wanted to do. The Bible tells us, remember in Proverbs 29:18, when a person has no vision, without a vision, the people are unrestrained, or basically they run wild. That's what's happening here. They have no firm direction with the Lord. You see, what God does when his witness is maybe tainted or diminished, when there's only a flicker of the Spirit of God, only a flicker of God doing a work, when sin and defeat, they in compromise, it seems to be the norm. Well, it was back in the days of Gideon, in the days of Judges. But you see, when that happens in a country, in a church, in Christianity, and it seems like in America, there's only a flicker now. You see, God knows this, and God always has a faithful remnant. And they're aware of the condition of the human condition. And so they cry out. I don't know if you've cried out recently. God, what are you doing? God, help us. God, come through. Well, the cry here in Psalm is, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. Psalm 12:6. Does that seem like the condition we're living in today? Well, it certainly was back in Gideon's time before he was called. And what's God's response when people cry out? And it's like, boy, there's carnality and there's just a downward trend. You see, it's the same in every generation. He looks for a person. He looks for a people. He looks for a church, or he looks for a deliverer that says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? As you see in Isaiah chapter 6. Lord, this is a sad condition. Lord, what are you going to do? Who are you going to send? And Lord, I'm willing to go if you want to send me. You see, that's the cry of a heart. You see, and is that your cry in the time that we live in, this woke culture? I would hope that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he would make that happen in us. Will you go from the place that you're at and maybe be the next evangelist in Hawaii or in the country, or maybe the next missionary or the next pastor, pastor's wife, leader, prayer warrior, an ordinary person doing extraordinary things for the kingdom of God? Will you be that person, that next Gideon kind of person? You see, that's really what comes out of a condition that is so bleak and so despairing. It really brings to surface those like Gideon, their heart. You see, sin doesn't, it doesn't surprise God when people sin or you're in a sinful nation. But what does surprise God is the fact that when evil and gross darkness cover the land or cover the earth, when Christians are lukewarm and a church has corrupted herself with false teaching and immoral living, and there's no one willing to stand in the gap against this tide of compromise, you see, what really surprises God, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 59:15-16, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw it, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice, and he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Doesn't surprise God with sin. What does surprise God is no one is willing to see it, live in that condition, and cry out to God, why? Why is this happening? You're greater than this, God. You're the one that created the heavens and the earth. You created man. Lord, and you came and died for the sins of the world. And yet we go along in this comfortable way and we don't do anything. We don't say anything. We don't come out and speak God's truth or speak God's word. Well, you see, in that kind of condition, God calls people. He called a Gideon to influence the nation for godliness and to turn the tide of indifference and deliver the people, deliver God's people from that bondage and that oppression of the enemy. Boy, do we need that. Do we need prayer warriors? Do we need people that'll speak out and speak up? Because there's a great spirit that wants to control people. They've already done it a couple years ago. And that's always what you do. You hit it hard and then you back up. Then you hit it hard again and maybe back up again. And then finally one more time and then you've got the people under control. You're now running their lives, controlling their lives. You see, but if indifference prevails, you see, then you go along and all of a sudden we find that this end time scenario, this Antichrist scenario, that this one world government, well, you can't move, you can't go anywhere unless the government tells you. I think that's what we're moving for. I think that's how close we are to the end times. I'm looking for the rapture pretty soon, real soon, because this stuff is coming fast and furious. You see, maybe God has called us as a church, or maybe he's called you, maybe he's called me to do what we see Gideon is doing in the church and in the community and the country. I know there are a number of friends of mine, Jack Hibbs in the country is making a big, big splash, and others that are really speaking out on these things and really going and dealing with a lot of this stuff and bringing up a lot of the things of God and then the things that the world is doing. We try to do that as well. That's why I give this public service announcement and say, this is bad, and yet the media, what they do is they censor. They censor. Never imagined in my generation that they would do that. Oh, I knew that they did that in North Korea. I knew they did that in communist China. I never thought they would do it here in the United States. But you see, that's how close we're getting to this one world, this government that wants to control everything. And it's not just happening here in the United States. It's happening across the world. You see, making a difference here where we live and also around the world, maybe as a missionary. What set Gideon apart from others? Why did God choose him? What qualities did God see in him? Why did God give him a vision, give him a heart to make a difference? And oh, he made a difference. You see, we can look back and we can see people that have made differences in a community, in society, in the United States, and even in the world. Billy Graham, for one. Chuck Smith. Thousands of churches birthed through Chuck. Around the world, his teachings. You see, well, let's look at this. Chapter 6, Judges. It says, now I'm going to skip verse 1, verse 7, and then 11, because we just talk about the fact that the repeat offenders, they're in bondage now. And it says, and the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midian 7 years. Now, verse 7, it came about when the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of Midian. Now, verse 11, here's the deliverer, Gideon. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites, the marauding bands that would go and they would steal and stuff. So he's hiding out there in the wine press, beating out wheat. You see, here's the first thing. First thing that God looks for in one that he's going to use for his purposes, that they're faithful in daily routine. Faithful in daily routine. What you do, and it seems so mundane, and yet it's essential. Beating out wheat. It's not really spectacular, but it was necessary. Just being faithful in ordinary and necessary things. There was a plaque in a housewife's house over the sink. It said, "Divine service done here 3 times daily. You see, for her, serving her family, serving her kids, you see, that was divine service. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, 2 and 3, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So faithful in the small things. I know in my surfboard business, I didn't know how I was going to serve the Lord, but I began to write scriptures on the boards, you know, and hand out my calling cards that had my testimony on it. It's just faithful. And then God used that in the lives of others, and he used that. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:10, "Do not despise the days of small things." So you might think it's a small thing, but are you faithful in that? You see, some of the people, one of the teachers, she was not even born when her dad was in the church, and now he's pastor. And I said, "One of the things about your dad, he was faithful, very faithful." Because I had a lot of guys work for me in surfboards when I was surfboard maker. He was one, but he was very faithful. Here, faithful in the small things, and now he's pastored the church for many, many years, faithful there. So faithfulness is a big thing, and even in the small things, it proves you if you're going to be faithful in the big things. And Luke chapter 16 tells us, "He who is faithful in very little thing is faithful in much, and he who is unrighteous in very little is unrighteous also in much." I saw that in my surfboard building. I thought, well, I've got to take all the secular things I've learned in surfboard and just trash them, because now I'm spiritual. These are spiritual things. But I realized the very application of my secular work ethic and the guys that work for me, their ethic was transferred over into the ministry. If they were faithful in doing what they were doing for me, working for me, they were faithful in the ministry. If they weren't, if they were sloppy, they'd be the same in the church, sloppy. And so that's what he's saying here. So it goes on, verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.'" So he's faithful in the small things, the daily routine. But now look at, this seems like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? He's hiding out, beating out grain. Hiding out, beating out grain. Oh, valiant warrior? You see, God sees in us what we or others don't see in ourselves. That's what God is seeing here in Gideon. And then God draws it out. That's what he's going to do with Gideon. That's what he does with you and me. Draws it out. You see, the potter could look at the lump of clay, and he can already see the vessel that he's going to create. You see, the artist, he takes that chunk of koa. It's just a chunk of koa, and he can already see the beautiful bowl that he's going to create out of it. And also, that architect, he can see the complete building while the foundation is being laid. You see, and that's what God sees in us. He sees the completed work, that he sees the work that he's going to do through us. God sees the oak tree that he's created while he's yet an acorn. And we might be small, but he can actually see what he's going to build. And that's what he sees in Gideon. He sees the finished work in you. He sees the finished work in me while we're still in that beginning stages. And then he works and he molds and he makes and he calls us. Remember what Paul the Apostle said in Galatians 1:15, that God set him apart from his mother's womb? So it doesn't just start when you're called, but it starts way back before you were born. God knows that. We just need to be available. It's not ability, it's availability. You know, just be available. Now, the next verse, it gives insight why God could say this about Gideon. Notice in verse 13, then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The second thing that we see here is Gideon had high ideals. High ideals. Do you have high ideals for the things of the Lord? Do I have high ideals for the things of the Lord, what I read in the Bible and what I know he could do and what we allow him to do? You see, that was a burning issue. Why, Lord? The burning issue with Gideon as he worked. You can imagine as he's threshing out, he's just thinking these things. He's not content with less than God's best. You see, we're never finished. We're always moving on to the next that God does. And that was Gideon. Gideon evaluated the nation's present condition of defeat, because they were defeated, crying out, in light of what he knew about God, what he knew about God and God's purposes for Israel. This isn't God's purpose for Israel. This isn't God's purpose for the church to be weak and limp and have no power and have no voice. You see, in the question, he's thinking in his mind, it shouldn't be this way. This shouldn't be. We're God's nation. The scriptural ideal and the current real that we have is not what God wants and not what God has told us about. So he's beating out wheat and he's musing. He's musing over the reality of the nation's condition and the potential that God had for them. He's thinking in his mind, I'm sure, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but this is what I imagine. He's thinking, you're a great God, and we're your people. Our condition does not reflect your greatness or your intended purpose for our lives. God, this isn't who you are in a place of defeat. You're not a God of defeat. You're a God of victory.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, Chapter 6. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. Gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 6. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.